Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building old-school rave pressure for drum and bass in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the smart way, with a disciplined sub, a rude mid-layer, and phrasing that locks into the breakbeat instead of fighting it. This style is not about just making the low end louder. It's about making the sub feel like it's pushing air through the room. That means the bass has to be stable, mono, and intentional, while still leaving enough space for the drums to breathe. If you get that balance right, the whole drop feels bigger without needing a huge amount of elements. So first, think in phrases, not loops. That's the first major mindset shift. If the bass idea only works because it repeats endlessly, it probably needs more shape. In DNB, the bass should feel like it's saying something every two or four bars. You want a riff that interacts with the break, answers the snare, and creates tension through placement. Start by building a bass group called bass, and inside it create two MIDI tracks, sub and mid pressure. Keep them separate from the start. That gives you full control over the true low end and the character layer. Route both tracks into the group so you can glue them together later, but don't blur them too early. On the sub track, load operator or wave eatable and keep the sound simple. Use a sine or a triangle bass tone. The job of this layer is translation, not excitement. It should sound clean on a good system, but also still feel solid on smaller speakers. That means no stereo widening, no unnecessary movement, and no extra grit down there. If you want old school pressure, leave one element intentionally plain. A clean sub makes the whole drop feel more expensive because it gives the distortion and drum edits somewhere stable to land. Set the sub to mono using utility and make sure the width is at 0%. If the bass is wide, or if you're tempted to put chorus or stereo effects on it, stop yourself. Check the low end in mono regularly. A lot of bass lines sound huge in headphones and then disappear in the room because they're too hyped harmonically or too unstable in the sustain. The sub has to translate. Now write the phrase. Open an 8-bar MIDI clip for the sub and keep it sparse. At 174 BPM, that energy lives in the rhythm, not in constant note spam. Start with one or two notes per bar. Put notes on offbeats or as responses after the snare. A really strong move in this style is to let the sub answer the drum phrase rather than lead it. So if the snare lands on 2 and 4, try putting the bass note just after the snare, or slightly before it for a feeling of anticipation. Here's a good starting approach. Bars 1 and 2 can be simple. One note per bar, long enough to establish the key center. Bars 3 and 4 can add a response note on the and after beat 2 or 4. Bars 5 and 6 can vary the note length, maybe with a shorter pickup into the next bar. Bars 7 and 8 can introduce a small climb or rhythmic variation to hint at the switch up. Keep it musical, but keep it restrained. The tension comes from repetition and placement. And here's a practical coaching tip. Use note length as a groove tool. In this style, trimming a tail often does more than adding another plug-in. If a bass note feels like it's smearing into the next drum hit, shorten it first. If the groove suddenly opens up, you've just solved more of the problem than any compressor could. Now let's lock the bass to the drums. Bring in your break or break hybrid and listen carefully to the relationship between the kick, snare, and bass. DNB bass should support the break's syncopation, not flatten it. If the snare feels masked, shorten the sub. If the groove feels stiff, move a response note a 16th later. If the break loses energy, reduce bass sustain and leave more air. This is a huge DNB principle. Bass should create space for drum punctuation. The most effective old-school pressure often comes from restraint, so don't overwrite the phrase with too many notes. If the idea still works when you mute the drums, it may be too busy for this style. On the sub track, keep processing simple. Utility for mono may be a Q8 if you need to clean ultra-low junk, but don't carve out the actual sub. If a compressor helps, keep it gentle around 1.5 to 2:1, just to even out a note that jumps out too hard. If one bass note is too strong, reduce the MIDI velocity or clip gain first. That's usually cleaner than forcing it back with compression. Now build the character layer on MID pressure. This is where the old-school rave attitude lives. Load wave eatable, analog, or even operator again if you want to keep it pure and distort later. Start with a saw or pulse-style tone, or a dual saw with a bit of detune. The point is not a super saw wall. The point is a focused mid-range layer that can be pushed, filtered, and slightly unstable, while the sub stays locked. A solid Ableton chain here is wave-eatable or analog into auto-filter, then saturator, then maybe a light echo for movement, then a Q8 and utility. The filter cutoff can live somewhere around 180 to 600 Hz depending on how much body you want. Drive the saturator a bit, maybe +2 to +6 dB, and use soft clip if it helps. Keep the movement subtle. You want pressure, not wobble city. This is also where you can dirty the mid without dirtying the low end. If you want more aggression, distort a duplicate of the bass, high pass it, and blend it back underneath. That often gives you the impression of a much bigger sound while preserving sub-clarity. And if you want more old-school edge, automate the filter opening at the end of each 4-bar phrase. That little whoosh of pressure can make the drop feel alive without resorting to giant risers. Now here's where advanced workflow starts to pay off. Commit early when the balance is right. If the mid layer feels good, print it. Resampling often gets you to that old school feel faster than endlessly tweaking synth settings. Create an audio track called Bass Print, set it to resample or take input from the bass group, and record a few bars of the riff. Once it's audio, you can edit like a surgeon. Chop transients, reverse little slices, add fades, or cut a tiny gap for groove. You can process audio more aggressively than MIDI, and sometimes a slightly ugly print is exactly what the track needs. In darker DNB, a dry, rude repeat can hit harder than something polished to death. Now bring the breakbeat back into focus. Use drum rack for sliced break hits if that fits your workflow, and if the break needs more human push, add groove pull swing. If the break needs more snap, use drum bus lightly on the drum bus, and use EQ8 to reduce low-end conflict below roughly 80 to 120 Hz. Then test the bass phrase against the break again. If you hear masking, don't immediately reach for more EQ cuts everywhere. First, shorten the bass notes. Remove overlaps. Simplify the rhythm. In DNB, arrangement often fixes mix problems faster than processing. For the drop energy, use call and response. A strong rave bassline feels like a question and answer. In a 16-bar drop, you can establish the core riff in bars 1 through 4, repeat it with a slight variation in bars 5 through 8, strip back the mid layer in bars 9 through 12 for tension, then bring the full pressure back in bars 13 through 16 with a switch up. Keep the sub mostly stable, but let the mid layer tell the story. You can automate the mid filter cutoff, saturator drive, utility width on the mid layer, or a short send to reverb or delay on just the last note of a phrase. A subtle rise in cutoff over 4 bars can create a convincing lift without needing a giant riser. You can even use a ghost octave answer, where you duplicate one bass note an octave up only for the last 8th or 16th of a phrase. Keep it very quiet and filtered so it reads like a flicker, not a lead line. Here's another advanced variation that works really well. In bar 4 of an 8-bar phrase, add a slightly earlier response note that creates a leaning forward feeling that's perfect before a fill or switch. Or try alternating note voice, where the first repeat of a motif is darker and the second repeat is brighter, using filter automation or wave-eatable position rather than changing the rhythm. Small changes like that keep the riff alive without losing identity. If you want the track to feel heavier without slowing it down, try a halftime illusion inside the fast tempo. Hold a sub note over a snare hit, then cut it sharply on the next beat. That can make 174 BPM feel enormous. Or use micro variation every 2 bars. Change only one thing, like note length, cutoff, envelope decay, drive, or one extra pickup note. That keeps the phrase moving without clutter. Now for the finishing stage. Group your drums into a drum bus and shape them lightly, so they sit with the bass instead of competing. Blue compressor with 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction is often enough. Maybe a little drum bus drive, maybe some EQ cleanup. On the bass group, keep headroom and watch the mid layer's width so it doesn't spill into the sub range. If distortion gets nasal, notch any harsh resonance between about 700 Hz and 2 kHz. A practical target is simple. The sub should dominate below around 90 Hz. The mid-bass should occupy the 150 Hz to 1.5 kHz range, and the kick and snare should have clear transient space. Keep the master comfortably below clipping while you're writing. If the mix feels crowded, try shortening notes before you start carving more EQ. And don't forget one of the most powerful tools in this style: silence. Remove the bass for one beat or even half a bar before a heavy return, and the drop can slam much harder. Mute creates contrast. Contrast creates impact. If you want a clean practice session, build a 2-bar old-school rave pressure loop at 174 BPM. Use ASUB and MID pressure track inside a bass group. Program only 3 to 5 bass notes total. Make the notes answer the breakbeat, not just the kick. Add a mid layer with the same rhythm, distort it lightly with saturator, automate the filter cutoff across the second bar, and chop the break so there's one obvious gap where the bass can dominate. Then bounce the bass to audio, listen in mono, and make only one edit. Shorten a note, remove a note, or move one response note by a 16th. That's the goal here. Make the loop feel like a real drop starter, not just a sound design test. If the sub still feels strong in mono, if the drum fills and bass responses make sense together, and if the line breathes at least once, you're on the right track. So remember the core playbook. Separate sub and mid pressure. Phrase the bass around the breakbeat. Keep the sub mono, clean, and disciplined. Use the mid layer for grit, motion, and attitude. Automate in small phrase-based moves. Resample when the sound starts to feel right, and mix with space, headroom, and contrast. That's how you get old-school pressure in modern Ableton Live 12 drum and bass. Not just more bass. Better bass phrasing, better drum interaction, and better control over where the energy lives.